Bess, it keeps me sane talking to another assistant librarian. These reference librarians are always going on about their problems. I just want to be left alone to work on stuff. They keep coming at me with their pedagogical implications. But you get along really well with all of your reference librarians. How do you do it? How do you put up with them? What's your approach?
The ones who are working with our library agent. They're the ones who have the best ability to learn about what are the ways that our patrons want to be able to use the library that they're not able to do right now. Some of those ways are going to be, you know, instruction and hours, and some of those ways are going to be, I want to be able to search by this field, or I want to be able to easily create visualization mashups of all of the journal articles that the library has in my subject area.
Well, that would be pretty cool if someone wanted to do that. I'd love to help people build things like that. Even better, help them use available tools to do it. And then put infrastructure in place so that everyone can use all those existing tools to help shape the data themselves. Tools and infrastructure. Do you feel the same? Infrastructure,
such that when these new ideas do get generated, when users ask for different ways of interacting with the collection, or when librarians themselves generate different ideas for how we could be reaching people, how we could be providing better service, that the answer is not, sorry, it's not cost effective for the vendor, so it's never going to happen.
Exactly. Well, I better go. It's good to catch up with you, Bess. You're an antidote to all these reference brands. I'll see you next year at Code for Lib. Oh, hey, Adam.
Hey, Bill. I've never actually been down here before. I think I'm lost. I'm looking for toner cartridges.
You excited about August?
Yeah, I saved up 4 weeks of vacation.
Well, lucky you. I'm going to be crazy busy with ViewFind.
What's that?
It's our new search and discovery layer. It's going live in August.
We're replacing the catalog in 2 months?
Oh yeah, it's going to be great. ViewFind's built on PHP, it's got active developers, good-sized user community, it's got solar on the back end, it's free isn't free.
You know, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I've only sent out about a dozen emails about it.
I haven't seen them.
Well, if you'd stop fiddling around with your iPhone for 5 minutes and have a look then. Basically, in 8 weeks, we go live with the new cutting-edge discovery layer.
So, who from Information Literacy is going to be on the Implementation Committee?
IL. What, how much of an IL issue is this to begin with? All we're going to do is make your life a whole lot easier. It'll have everything in it. The catalog, e-resource database records, all of that. You guys have been going on and griping about having siloed information for years, and now it's all going to be in one place.
Well, yeah, that's true, Bill. But moving to a search and discovery system, that has a lot of challenges.
Oh, well, here we go.
First of all, we need to figure out how to display all this information. We need to talk about search logic and making that easier for our users. And who knows what sorts of opportunities we may have here. We won't have to spend as much time teaching our users how to search and use the system, meaning we can focus on something a bit more interesting. Oh,
I don't know why I bother talking to you. Look, it's not going to affect how you teach. You'll still be talking about all your usual little things about searching by title and using Boolean operators and getting into databases and all that, won't you?
Well, maybe, but we have other things we'd like to discuss. In fact, let's get Lisa on video phone. She generally has some excellent thoughts on these issues. Lisa, what do you want from a search and discovery system?
I want a search and discovery layer that's so simple to use that I don't have to spend time talking to students about Boolean operators or any clunky search operators. I'm just going to be able to focus on talking about how the material I make is kind of organized and how they're going to write an essay using it and how they're going to think about these things and so forth. So I don't want to spend any time on mechanics of searching.
So Lisa's a bit on shaky ground there. But see, Bill, it's not all that Boolean mechanical stuff that we've had to spend so much time teaching that really interests us. It really helps our students. We'd like to be able to talk more about how to evaluate information, issues around the production of information. In fact, I'm sure if we got the IL people around, we could hash out things a bit more clearly. In fact, I was chatting with Caroline a while back, and she had some thoughts about what she'd like to see.
I want to know, okay, instead of like an art, like
Lisa and Caroline there may be an IL, but they're making some good sense. So you've got all this big, complicated, massive data that you want to search, and you're getting results back that run the gamut from books to musical scores to data sets, and you want to present it clearly to the user, divided up by format. Helps the user pick and choose. Do they want a book? Do they want a journal? Do they want some audio? And it's all there in all those MARC records that we're building this system on.
Yeah, you guys are able to do some nice work there, tweaking relevancy rankings and digging out useful bits of data to show in the results listings. In fact, because of all that basic stuff can be taken care of so well, it lets us get on to those loftier IL goals that Lisa and I were talking about.
It reminds me of a Lubetzky quote.
Lubetzky?
Seymour Lubetzky, 1898 to 2003, greatest cataloger of the 20th century. Now, Caroline there, he was saying that the user should be able to enter in one simple query and get back a large amount of information presented in a very carefully constructed way. Now, Lubetzky was at a cataloging conference up in Toronto in 1977. I just happened to carry around a recording of him with me. He got asked a question about main and added entries and whether you'd still need these concepts in the future when anything can be an access point because everything is online. Online! And this was back in 1977. So here's a clip of what he said, and he's using an example of George Washington's farewell address.
I tried to apply the code that part and lane I don't care. What method you use to achieve the end, but to me is what the end is. Whether you use main entry or you have a magic pronouncement to say, give me this and you get what I think you ought to get, then it's fine. And if you use a computer, certainly the method by which you will accomplish these purposes will be different. That the catalog has to value more than what you ask for. I illustrated it by the use of the farewell address of Washington. That the answer of a good catalog is not to say yes or no, binary answer.
Seymour Lubetzky, the catalog has to tell you more than what you ask for. And now with Viewfind, we can really do that, far beyond what he was talking about. You ask it a simple question with a couple of keywords, like Lisa wants, and it gives you back good relevancy rankings, faceting, book covers, recommendations, links to available full text. It's all there, and this business Caroline's talking about, presenting the results in a particular way, we can do that too, because it's all there in the metadata.
The metadata.
The metadata.
I'm looking at it in a different way. We need the metadata true, but you're saying that's what we have and that's what we'll show. But what I would like is for the metadata to disappear so that the larger goals of information literacy can be served. Caroline isn't saying we divide up the presentation of the results by format because it's in the metadata. She's saying we should do it because that's what users need. That's what students need to know. And if we can show them that in the search results, then we don't have to spend half an hour in the classroom telling them how to understand ISBD or whatever weird old way our system used to format results. The catalogus tells us more than what we need, than what we ask for. It tells us what we need to know to delve into things like the disciplinary discourse.
Did you just say delve into the disciplinary discourse?
What I really like about some of the things you guys have been working on is that it allows the tools to start disappearing. Sure, I have LibX in my browser, and that's all fine and good. But the great thing about it is how it underlines any ISBN it detects and just runs a search against our catalog. In many ways, it is invisible, but just does what I want it to do. Wouldn't it be great if it could tie me into any full-text holdings from other sources like Google or Internet Archive? Zotero, it just quietly sits in my browser without any fuss. That's what we want, not fiddling with complicated-to-use tools and having to teach them, but talking about what gets found.
So with Viewfind, you mean that we should assume the students have been using the Internet for years, and they know all the basics of all that, and you could get on to the higher-level stuff. You don't need to show how to do a special title author search because they can just put a few words into a general keyword search and it just works, just like every other search engine.
Well, yes and no. I still need to be able to use sophisticated search techniques. If I wanted Google, I'd just use Google. But getting back to your average undergrad, they need to understand, like, things like, who wrote the book? What makes that person qualified to speak on the topic? Who published the book?
But really, that's just a little bit crap, isn't it? I mean, come on. These loftier IL goals, isn't that just basically some stuff from a grade 10 media studies course with some Neil Postman put on top?
They had media studies back when you were in grade 10? Look, I really think that you're thinking about these tools. You're thinking about them and what they're designed to do. It's way too restricted. In fact, Patty and Lisa have some thoughts about the role of these tools and how they should be built.
In the context of
is about the creation of teaching tools. And one of the things that I think systems librarians would benefit from keeping at the foreground of their work is that oftentimes when we're creating search tools, we're creating it, yes, for the purpose of finding information and finding it quickly and easier, but we're also creating teaching tools. And there may be times when the design of a particular product is informed by our larger mandate in the academic context, which is to teach. And that may be foreign to a lot of systems people. They may not understand why we choose to do something in a particular way. A lot of times, students are coming upon our website or some of the stuff that we build all by themselves. And they should be able to learn something about searching from the way that tool is organized. I don't mean that we should make it hard for them and force them to have to learn to use it, but at the same time, what I mean is they need to remember that they are engaged in the process of learning every time they sit down and try to find something. And so I guess they want systems librarians to think like teachers a little bit or allow the teachers.
So the context, for instance, a university like Patty and Lisa were talking about, and the role that somebody like I, a lowly reference and instruction librarian, can play actually has some importance. For example, getting back to that issue of disciplinary discourse, how do people in a particular subject area actually talk to one another?
Well, I guess it does.
How are publishing and publications in high energy physics different than, say, publishing and publications in ancient Greek history?
Well, but stuff up
how do psychologists, how do they communicate with their academic peers? Or, what? And we hear this one all the time, why can't we just digitize all the damn books and be done with it?
Well, that's because you got copyright and intellectual property issues.
Exactly, and that's an IL standard, and something a bit more lofty that we'd be more interested in teaching. Wouldn't it be interesting if, when we linked to full text, there was some little clue as to the conditions of access, like no copyright or open access or license access secured? Then the catalog is directly supporting an IL competency and, frankly, allows us to talk about something much more interesting than how to put together an elegant search query. Or another issue, how do you learn from your mistakes? A particular approach, for example, searching isn't working well, but may tell you something about how to improve that process.
Well, I do that all the time. So it's basic and systems development and programming that when you're debugging, then
Exactly. And that's another IL standard to which we'd like to teach. And that's much more interesting, again, than talking about how to limit your search to books by title, or to use your somewhat earlier example, books penned by Neil Postman.
Media studies.
August 17, 2010. Dear Bill, I finally had a chance to review the changes that you made on Viewpoint. And now that I've seen them, I've completely changed my mind. I think what I'd like to see now is 2010, mid-morning. Hey Bill, now that you made those other changes I asked for on August 17, I can see that we're going to have some problems, so I'm thinking that we need to completely...
August 19, 2010.
Bill, stop the presses. Look, don't worry about any of that other stuff I've been emailing you about. Something much more important has come up, and we need to make it a high priority right away.
Oh, all these endless changes with no rhyme or reason.
I think, basically, it's a two-way street, right? I can learn from them, and they can learn from me. And when we're launching a new project, and it's going to have a huge technology component, I need to stop and listen to them about what their software can do, or what their programming solutions can do, what opportunities they can offer, and also what the limitations are on what this tool, software, programming language, whatever it is, you know, where are the opportunities, where are the limits? Because I think sometimes I think maybe they get a little tired of hearing us say, I'd like you to do this and 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 this. And actually can't. And they, you know, they need to be able to say, well, lady, that's lovely, but, you know, actually it's not possible for us to do all of that. And I have to understand that.
And this and this and this and this and this, see?
Okay, point taken. I should prioritize a bit better and explain the methods to my madness. But on the explanation front, my friend Cheryl Hook has a very good point.
I need to see that. And I think they need a
just programming? It's just programming.
Okay, so let me see. Yeah, we were looking at all this in the Information Literacy Committee, and there are a few changes we'd like. The system's working really well, but some of the things it does conflict with how we teach students about some things and what we demonstrate at the reference desk, and we want to fix that up before we go into production. Bill? The advanced search? The advanced search is really the big problem. The way it's set up, you can't use Boolean the way we teach it, which is the way it works in the other big databases. Usually you start, you know, with a couple lines, a few boxes, the Boolean's all built in for you. And that's a common pattern for advanced searches, and we'd like to reuse it. Could we try something like that? Bill? Following up on my email from last week, do you think this is going to be possible, Bill? Bill?
No.
No? Why?
It's just technically impossible.
Why?
Well, it's quite difficult to explain, actually.
Why?
Well, there's Solr on the back end. You got the object relational model. You got Unicode. It's the server. It won't run on the server. There's configuration issues.
What about them?
It's about how the parameters get passed in.
Could you explain this a bit more? Look, I don't know much about Solr, but I do know a bit about database design. So why don't you give me the basics, and if I don't understand, I'll let you know. I let you in on some top secret IL stuff, so payback time. If I can understand some of this stuff, it'll make my life easier, and in turn, I won't be asking you for the impossible. I just need a clearer understanding from you of what's going on here. Is that okay?
Well, fair enough, all right. So, you know, I guess it actually could be done. What's going on here with Solr, the search engine, it thinks about things in a really machine way. And when you talk to it, you have to talk in a really machine way. It's going to make sense because it's a machine, right?
Right, and if our users were all machines, then... Well,
then they'd really like it. But the way that things were, what was happening was the way that things were presented on that advanced search page was it's the way Solr understands things. And if you construct a query there, then it can be passed straight over to the search engine for it to act on.
Oh, okay, I get it. So it was like I was building a database query myself.
Pretty much, yeah.
So if we want to make it so that people can build an advanced search the way that they think of searching...
Then we need to make a middle layer to do the translation from people to machine.
Oh, okay, I get it. Oh, Bill, I'm sorry. I need to get to a Senate meeting. I'll come back tomorrow and we can keep working. So it's with great pleasure to be invited, to address the University Senate today to talk about some of the goals of the library's information literacy program and to talk about some of the ways we're going to push this program forward for the benefit of all students here at the university. To start, I'd just like to briefly address some changes we've made to the library search systems to contextualize some of the pedagogical goals I want to discuss. So if we could take a look at that. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry, I'm expecting a call. Hello?
Oh, hello.
Oh, it's you. Is this important?
Oh, that advanced search stuff that we were just talking about before, it's all working. Everything we talked about, it's all fixed up. You can add in rows really easily. Your suggestion about the Boolean worked out nicely. It's all tested and in production now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great, really. I mean it. But I'm talking to University Senate at the moment, and we're about to actually look at all that stuff.
And all that, I submitted all the patches back to the main source tree. Everyone liked them, and it all got accepted. They bumped it to version 2, so I downloaded that, and I installed it.
Version 2? We're running version 2 now? Publicly?
Yeah.
Well, I'm about to show some of this new stuff. Is this stuff I haven't even seen?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's much better. It's completely different. Major improvements there. It's faster. We don't need to buy that new server now. CD and DVD covers are there, too.
Well, this is rather awkward.
Well, and that problem with the availability is all fixed. Oh, and I loaded in 19 million articles.
You did what?
loaded in full article-level metadata for 19 million articles. To be exact, 19,741,137. And so now, when you search, you get back a mix of items from our local catalog and from the set of articles that are owned by the Ontario University Consortium. Pretty cool, eh?
19 million articles?
Isn't it awesome? Saves so much time. Everything's all in one place. People don't have to go into all the different article databases to search. There's this easy one-box interface. It's perfect. It's just what we've been after.
19 million articles mixed in with our catalog?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like some really impressive work, but, you know, from a teaching point of view, there's a lot going on here. There are 3 weeks left in term, and everyone is in an insane rush to write papers, and you've completely changed the behavior of the catalog. And I'm standing here in front of Senate looking like an idiot. Everything we've taught students and everything they've learned by experience, it doesn't work anymore. Also, those 19 million articles cover about 90% of what we have in the social sciences and humanities, but they're not at all right for science, engineering, medicine, or business, so it's completely misleading for them. Uh-oh. They'll search, they'll get bad results, and never know that they need to go into subject-specific databases. How could you do this?
Oh, I'm in my happy place. I'm in my happy place.
Project management cycle of a tech, project, how to float a pilot, how to do sort of a controlled iteration of a particular thing. So I think I sense that that's how a systems librarian often works. What they probably need from us is they need more of my kind of librarian to understand what it is that they do and how they think and how they manage projects.
You know, I don't think we've realized how our library has turned into a software development shop over the last while, especially now that we're using ViewFind.
Yeah, it used to be that we'd install a new version of Cersei's OPAC every 2 years and had no choice about anything. It was a lot simpler, like Henry Ford was designing OPACs. We can have any color we want, as long as it's black.
Now it isn't production line anymore. It's all customized. Lots of different kinds of people working together, different jobs, backgrounds, and interests. And working on software together is hard.
Well, what I don't really get is the way you freeze things at the last minute.
You mean before going into production?
Yeah, we always find lots of things that need fixing at the last minute, but you say you can't do them.
It's annoying, yeah, but that's because we really need that time to prepare and test everything. When we're working on new things, they gradually make our way up from our laptops up to the development environment and then up to staging. And basically at that point, just before launch, we want to kill all the bugs. We don't want to introduce anything new. And that's where you do a lot of testing.
Oh, that's right. Find the bugs with Bugzilla. I report them and you fix them.
Yeah. And then also before launch, we're figuring out how we can switch the production system from the old one to the new one without anyone being affected or anyone noticing. No downtime, no data loss, no broken URLs, nothing like that.
Yeah, but it's still annoying. In August, when we're working on getting ready for all the classes we teach in September and October, we're finding all kinds of little things here and there.
Little things we can fix, but we don't have time for the big things. And now that we're prioritizing everything, you know we've done all the major work. And besides, you're always telling me not to make changes.
Well, that's different. From the middle of August to the middle of October, we're prepping and teaching, and we need everything to stay the same. We do posters, brochures, websites, and we need everything to match. I don't use PowerPoint much when I teach, but some librarians do, and they need things to match up. And for all of us, when we're in a class, we need the systems to work like we expect, because we have certain points we want to hit, or examples we want to bring up.
But after we put the new system into production, it's just when we want to get to working on the new stuff. That's the real fun.
Oh, no, no. We want the new features, too. And in fact, after we've had some time to teach the system and we've been working with it at the reference desk, we've had a lot of experience with it and we have new ideas about how to improve the teaching experience of the catalog.
What, after 2 months in mid-October?
Well, it's crazy till after Thanksgiving. For 2 months, every reference and instruction librarian is busy, and then a month again in January.
So that's 3 months of the year when we can't work together.
And then there's vacation.
And going to conferences.
And the library's understaffed anyway.
And we're tenure track at university, so we have research and service commitments.
And with budget cuts, I have to probably spend half my time next year managing student assistants.
Next time my department head is on 6 months sabbatical, I might fill in.
Yeah, we're not a software development shop. We're a confused jumble of people who really only spend 40% of our time on this, at most, and that 40% hardly ever matches up in our calendars.
There's nothing to be done.
I'm beginning to come round to that opinion.
I can't go on like this.
That's what you think. Hey, Bill, guess what?
What?
I just got back from the conference of the Educational Academy of Pedagogical Teaching and Learning Schools, and it was amazingly good. Some great speakers, some really interesting research results were presented. It was all very inspiring. And there were some vendors showing off some amazing new products. One of them was just astounding. We were all amazed, and we have to get it.
Yeah?
It's a localized instance of Bing Scholar.
It's what?
It's Bing Scholar, but it's local.
When you put those words together, it makes me really worried.
What for? You know Google Scholar.
Yeah.
And you know Bing.
Well, I certainly know of it.
Well, Bing has made their own version of Google Scholar. Microsoft bought Elsevier and Thomson Reuters and Saks Fifth Avenue, and they're loading all the articles into the system. They've got deals with other publishers, and they're loading it all in all the open access articles, so it's almost complete as Google. Try it at scholar.bing.com.
But what about this localization?
Oh, it gets even better. We can license local access to Bing Scholar. They send us a computer with megabytes of disk space on it. It's awesome. And it's automatically configured to update itself every night with fresh downloads from Microsoft. Then there's a Windows program we can give people that will give them special access to the data, and there's a web interface to it. Hang on, I have the information sheet here about it. Let's see, there's a license agreement we'll have to sign, but we can trust a reliable company like Microsoft, so I don't think we need to bother reading it very closely. Something here about their support people having access to our network. We'll have to open up a port on our firewall, but you can figure out how to configure that. It says here it's written in C#. Well, you can read the rest of it. Oh, and I forgot to say, the other four teaching librarians and I will have full administrator access, of course. You won't need access at all. We can run it all by ourselves. Besides, it's cheaper that way, one less user license. We're really excited about this. The five of us, we've formed into six different working groups to look at the possibilities. And we're going to build on, you know, some of those lessons we learned from that time you loaded 19 million articles into ViewFind. We really think we can do some solid work with this.
No, I'm sorry, but no.
What?
No.
But this is important for our teaching program, Bill. This would be a major new initiative.
You haven't signed anything yet, have you?
No, but the reps are coming on Friday.
Well, I'm glad we're talking about this beforehand. At least we're getting better about that. But if you'd signed the contract, I'd still say no.
How can you say no? This is a worthy initiative.
So you're saying that you want us to buy, untested, a system that would require us to hire a Windows admin, invest tens of thousands of dollars in new hardware and unreliable software, add insecure or proprietary operating systems into our mix, get involved with a programming language that we don't understand, all where Microsoft would have backdoor access into our private network?
What are you, anti-Microsoft?
Well, yeah, but that doesn't matter. Look, we run Unix, we write mostly in PHP and Ruby, we use free software wherever we can. We have absolutely no Windows software in my shop. We have a set of technologies that we work with, and it's Unix and it's free software. That's how my department's designed, that's what we hire for. This is how we've constructed the entire way that we function, and I'm afraid that there's just no place in there for this Bing Scholar thing.
You know, I'm sensing a bit of negativity here. Is this a whole rerun of that advanced search business?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'll grant you that your frontline experience gives you serious cred on searching, and you're definitely in charge there. You design the theory of how the IL part of the catalog works, and then together we put it all into practice. But the actual implementation of it is up to me, and there's got to be a line. But you know, we probably could get this project working another way. I can tell you later about this knowledge for all project. That might work. But for being local, I gotta put my foot down, Adam. The foot has spoken. The foot has spoken.
So, 2 minutes left to wait. You excited about co-teaching this session with me?
Oof, well, I'm kind of nervous, but I should be okay. I've never got up in front of a class before. In fact, I've never really done any public speaking before.
Ah, you'll be fine. You get used to it. I do about 8 sessions a week for 6 weeks, so I got over any nerves pretty quickly my first year. I'll start things off, and then you can talk about some useful tips for searching and how our search systems can help, and then maybe do some stuff around the advanced search, and then I'll pick up on stuff around the disciplinary discourse.
Don't worry. I've been rehearsing all week. I'm all set. And you know, I have to say, I was really impressed with you and the information literacy people did on this new release of ViewFind.
Yeah, when you sent us the roadmap for the next official release, it really got us to thinking. There was nothing sort of teaching-related or IL-related on it at all. It was also technical.
Well, the project is just done by library geeks from all around the world, hacking on code often in their spare time, and so that's what you get. But you guys really got involved. You got IL people from all over involved in it too, and it had a huge effect on how things turned out.
Yeah, it made the whole process a lot more enjoyable too. So, you ready?
Yeah, so it's History and Philosophy of Science 5500, Kuhn's Paradigms and Foucault's Epistemes. It sounds pretty interesting. It's what, like 6 or 8 students?
What? No, this is section 14 of Psych 2030, Introduction to Research Methods. Didn't you get my email?
Your what?
Yeah, there are 500 students in there. Make sure your lapel mic's attached properly.
Oh my God.
Don't worry. If you're lucky, 400 of them will be ignoring you. If you're not, 400 will. Well, shall we go?
Yes, let's go.
Thank you.
Thank you.